The Old Testament reading today is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. This can be found on page 215 of your church Bibles. Samuel's calling and prophetic activity. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle." Here ends the reading.
Father, we come to your temple with joy, with thanksgiving, knowing that you welcome each one of us. Lord, we know that you love each one of us so deeply, that you know everything about us, that you know our number of hair on our head. You know everything, Lord. And we come to you asking for your Holy Spirit, asking for wisdom, for our ears to be open, and to see how you can talk, how you can speak to each one of us now and during this worship time. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Good morning, friends. I have decided this morning to do something quite radical, something that maybe never happened in 175 years of Union Church, and that will change the destiny of Union Church. I am wearing a t-shirt. I know, I'm hearing, "Oh." So if you're upset at me, come after to reconcile, because the Bible tells us to reconcile. And if you're really upset, don't worry, next Sunday is my last Sunday, so you won't have to see me again. But Michelle is away, right? So when the cat is away, yes, we all dance. And we brought a little bit of Du Café with us today, right? I've also seen some t-shirts, and this is cool. We're all together. Oh, second word of warning. It's not a French tradition to be sunburned on the 14th of July, just so you know. So yes, I am really red. Yes, I am sunburned. Sorry about that. And Rob, please don't put any more purple light on me. I'm red enough. We've been through this series on the church is. And we went through learning what the church means. And now we have this little window in the summer when we do kind of one-off sermons. And so for this week, I actually asked the Lord to tell me what was needed, what message was needed for today. And as I was asking for discernment, the word that actually came back to me was discernment. The art of discernment. What if this morning you received a letter from your employer saying, "Thank you so much. You've been doing great here in Hong Kong, but sad news is your job has been made redundant. We would love to keep you in the company, and that can happen at one condition. You have to move to Beijing, and you have to make the call in the next 10 days. We expect you to be in Beijing in 10 days. If not, well, this is the end of our partnership." What would you do? How would you know that this is an amazing new door, an amazing new chapter that the Lord is opening for you? Or is it just you having to face an oppressive employer? Tough choice. Hard call. This is just one example of many, many calls that we have to make in our lives, many, many decisions that we have to make. And in those moments, we ask for discernment. And in those moments, we also go to the religious leaders and ask, "What shall we do?" So I had this question over and over. I have this really, really tough decision to make. What shall I do? And in those moments, as a pastor, you wish you had this kind of magical recipe to say, "Hey, this is what you should do. These are the three steps that would guide you and lead you towards proper discernment." I wish, honestly, I really wish I had something like that. It would make my life easier. It would make your life easier. It would be so much easier if I could just tell you, "Hey, you want good discernment? You want to know the right answer to your question? Just take the ferry, go to Lam Island, do a 2-hour hike, at the end, sit down for 1 hour, pray, and you'll get the answer." It would be awesome. But it would be also a little bit sad if God was just a recipe, and if the discernment was just something that three steps that we could all do. That's why the kind of the thread, the thesis of my sermon today is discernment is not an exact science. It's not something that you can quantify and say, this is how it's happening. It is actually more of an art, of a practice, something that is always a little bit different every time. It's not always the same. Discernment is this radical claim that God talks to us. Let me just say that again. It is radical when we use the word discernment to say that God is talking to us. You might have met many, many people who believe in God, right? They believe those lines. "I believe in God Almighty. I believe in the lines of God." But actually don't believe that God is present, alive, and talking to us. So that's a radical claim, saying our God is alive. Our God is talking, is speaking to us all the time. And if we know that as a truth, something that we know is true, then it is our duty to answer when God is calling. It is our duty to listen when God speaks. So today I want to go in two different ways. I want to kind of unpack a little bit the different ways that God is talking to us. And I also want to unpack how we, as faithful Christians, can practice listening. So that combined together, God talking to us and us listening, we can know a little bit better about discernment. And we can know a little bit better how to face difficult and challenging situations when you have those tough choices. I'm sure you had plenty opportunities, plenty experiences like that in your life when you had a tough choice, tough call to make. And if you hadn't, if you never had, well, I'm sure you will have in the future. So you can open your ears. So let's start with the way God is talking to us. I'm going to present three ways. What do you think these ways are? So now is the time when we interact. I ask you a question, you answer. And I brought you cafe people around, so I expect some hands. What are the ways that God talks to us. Rob? Bible. Dreams?
Bible?
Prayer? Yeah. People? Others? Yes. Well, we have the sermon. I'm done. That was easy. Direct ways that God is talking to us. Through dreams, visions, direct words that are spoken to us. This is the story of the text of today, the passage. Samuel was sleeping, and God called him. It was God calling him. It's pretty straightforward. And there are also so many stories in the Bible where there are visions like that or dreams, right? Think of Jacob and the story of the ladder, you know, when he was sleeping in this place that will later become Bethel. And he had this dream of a ladder that was connecting heaven and earth. This was a powerful, powerful vision. Think of Moses with the burning bush. But God talked to Moses. Right? These are ways that God can do in our lives. He talks to us. He sends us vision, dreams. I'm sure you had those experiences. An experience of mine when God really talked to my life was a few years back when I was in Paris. And at this time of my life, I was working like crazy. I started my own business. So if you've been through, you know what it's like. You wake up really early and you go to bed really late. And I was always going back home to using the same metro, which is the French way for MTR. The last one, midnight, was the last MTR going back to my place. And one evening, one night, I was, you know, just sitting down, maybe reading or something, and then I heard a voice telling me, "You will not find me in your busy life." Now, of course, I looked around. I was like, "Who's talking?" Who's the same way that Samuel was like, "Hey, Eli, did you call me?" We don't really believe that it can be God talking to us directly, but it was. And I knew it because it spoke to me at this time of my life, indeed. I was really, really dry, spiritually speaking. I was not walking with the Lord really closely. So I knew that these words that he put on my heart were for me. So if you have a vision, a dream, something supernatural, do not freak out. This is normal. God talks to people that way. But maybe use these words to actually change something in your life. Because if he's talking to you, there's a reason. So God talking to us through the direct way, if you will. But then the two other ways, you mentioned them. Others and the Bible. Others. This part I just love. I just love it because it's a reminder that we can see Christ in the face of the other. That Christianity is not this individual practice the same way that we go for running or doing something else. Christianity is about us being in relationship with God and with the other people around us. So God talks to us through others. That's really, really, really powerful. And it can happen in two ways. Words of wisdom and words of prophecy. Now, there's a difference between the two, of course. Wisdom are the words that you can receive when you talk with someone, usually a mentor or, you know, someone older, someone more mature in his Christian life. And these will be words that will kind of resonate into your heart and kind of words that would be highlighted, if you will. You know, it's like a text and you have some, you can see the highlighted part. And in those moments, you feel like, huh, I needed to receive those words. All these words that you're telling me, they really make sense. These are words of wisdom. And the Lord is using all of us. Sometimes we don't even know about it. We are being used. We are vessels of the Holy Spirit to spread words of wisdom to others. I'm sure you had those moments when you meet an old friend or someone you've met 15 years ago or something, And the person tells you, you know what? These words that you told me at this time, maybe you don't even remember, but they spoke to me. They changed my life. And in those moments, you freak out. You're like, oh my gosh, what did I say? Uh-oh. No, this is God talking to us through others. Words of prophecy. Any of you received words of prophecy that were like spoken to you by other people? Have you received those words? Yeah? Have you yourself given words of prophecy to others? That's another something. Any? Yes, we have hands. One of my very good friends is a pastor in France, in Paris. He's a Pentecostal pastor. So if you know about the denomination, the Pentecostal movement, quite heavy on words of prophecy, right? And if you're a pastor in this denomination, you're kind of expected to give words of prophecy to your congregation every Sunday. You know, you are being trained in the Spirit to be attuned to the Spirit and to give words of prophecy. But here's the thing, words of prophecy are not easy. And that's the cool thing about sharing stuff with another pastor is he kind of gave me the behind the scene type of advice. He told me, you know, the very first time I received words of prophecy, I knew I had to give to people those words. It was really hard. It was really awkward. And he told me the story when the Lord told him to go and see this couple. This couple, they've been trying to have a baby for a long time. They were not able to have a baby. But my friend received these words to go and see this couple and to tell them, you will indeed have a baby. But he told me, you know, I felt awkward. I felt inadequate. I felt unequipped. Who am I to tell these people that they're going to have a baby? What if it doesn't work out? I'm going to be silly and ridiculous and all of that. Can you see the tension with the words of prophecy? But he told me, you know, I was faithful. So I went. I lay my hands on this couple. I said, you know, these are the words I received as a prophet. And sure enough, a few months later, they had a baby. But it was not through the work of my friend. Of course not. It was the Holy Spirit working in him. So the Holy Spirit is at work among us, sometimes in ways that we don't even recognize. So if you ever receive a call to give words of prophecy, do not freak out, although it's natural. Do not run away like Jonah, but face it and say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give those words of prophecy. Third way, the Bible. And that's a beautiful one as well. This is the understanding that the Bible is more than a bestseller. It's more than the last trendy self-help book that you can find on Bookazine. And it's more powerful than that. It is the living word. When we Christians believe that it is the living word, we believe that God talks to us through the Bible. And man, that's powerful. That's insane. So if we read the Bible, if we learn about the stuff inside the Bible, God can talk to us. Might not be a vision that you receive or words of wisdom or prophecy, but sometimes when you ask for discernment, you might receive a passage. You might receive a verse. You might receive a story from the Bible. So it's your duty to learn about those stories. You need to build up a bank of verses and stories and passages so that when time comes and the Lord is going to use those words to inspire you, you'll be equipped. So these are the three ways that God talks to us. Direct communication, words, vision, through prayer, you can receive those kind of things, those visions, those dreams. Through others, and through the Bible. Now, I told you that this claim is really radical, right? That God talks to us. But it can be a really radical claim. But if we are not listening, God can talk. But if we're not listening, nothing's going to happen, right? It's like I'm talking to you right now, And I can talk to you for about an hour, which I'm not going to do, don't worry. But if you're not listening, my words will just go through and they will not find the reception. So the relationship between us and God, it's two ways. It's not just like, well, I'm just waiting for God to talk to me. It's also, well, on your side, it is our duty to listen. Active listening, right? Listening is something to practice. You can't just expect to be a good listener to God's words if you're not practicing listening. So if we say, okay, same time next year, all together, we're going to run a marathon. That would be cool. Union marathon. Yeah. So some hands are, yeah, yeah, yeah. Some people are, no, I'm not coming back next year. It's a case study. Don't worry. It's all fake. But let's say we do that next year. Of course, you're going to start with learning a little bit about the practice. You're going to learn about all the things you need to know to run a marathon. You're going to learn about everything from shoes to what food you need to eat to be in good conditions for the run. You're going to learn how the best athletes do. So you're going through a process of learning. Well, it's the same with listening. Listening to God requires learning how to listen. And the best way to learn how to listen is to go through the different spiritual practices. Any of you know Richard Foster? Celebration of the Disciplines? No? One hand. Yes. Two, three, four. Come on. Celebration of Disciplines. It's basically saying there are different spiritual practices, and you need to know what they are in order to find those that would be more appealing to you, those that you feel like you have a connection. So your brother or your sister in Christ might say, hey, you know, I've done this journaling thing. It's been incredibly good. I was able to listen to God. Well, that might not really work for you. You might say, well, no, for me, what I really need is to immerse myself into reading the Bible for a long period of time. Or, no, for me, really what works is to go in the mountain for a long period of time in solitude. There are different practices, but we need to learn what they are, so that we can find those that work best for us. This is the learning part. We need to learn how to listen. It doesn't come naturally. Because naturally, we're not really good at listening, are we? Once we've listened, we need to put time aside. Of course, if you were to run a marathon next year, you would start to practice. You would start to put time aside of your work, and you would say, okay, I'm going to start with 20 minutes a week. I'm going to increase after 2 months, 40 minutes a week. You know what I mean? Like, you put time in your schedule. So here's the trick. Do you have time in your schedule right now to listen to God? Because if not, it's going to be hard to listen to what he has to say. When people come to me and they're like, okay, I have this really tough decision to make. I know, should I change my job or not? I usually say, well, do you have time in your schedule to listen to God? Because if not, it's going to be hard. Sometimes the Spirit works in a way that is unexpected and just send you a vision. But if you practice, you increase your chances to be attuned and to listen to what God has to tell you. It's kind of normal, right? So it's a practice. It's not an exact science. So putting time aside is key. And finally, to be a good listener to God talking to us, we need to persevere. We go through dry seasons. It is normal when you feel like God is not talking to you right now. It is normal to go through those seasons of dryness. In those moments, we are asked to persevere. We are asked to pray again and again. We are asked to do even more. The whole ministry of Jesus was about spiritual practices from the beginning to the end. He really liked to go in the wilderness, spend some time with him and his Father. It started from the very beginning when he went for 40 days in the desert. And at the end of his life on earth, at the very end, remember in the garden, he told his disciples, you stay over there, I'm going to go. It was just before he was arrested. He said, I'm going to go and pray. I'm going to go in my solitude, spend some time with God. So we need to persevere. When seasons are tough, dry, we need to persevere. That's the key for listening practice. So here we are with this complete relationship of God talking to us in many different ways, and us listening, and us using also different techniques to be good listeners. And so the two combine, it's kind of this combo for discernment. God is talking, but are we listening? Now, at this time of the sermon is the kind of the words of warning. You know, those small prints at the end of the contract saying, by the way, three by the ways. The first one, watch out for false prophets. Watch out for false prophecies. I didn't know about it until it happened to my wife. Yes. Ooh, yes. When we were engaged, we're long distance. I was in the U.S., she was in London. And she went to a Christian camp, a charismatic Christian camp. Great. Until she met this person, and she was, you know, kind of chatting and saying, yeah, my fiancé is in the U.S., and I'm here in London, obviously. And the person just stopped her and said, oh, wait. I have words of prophecy. Oh, okay. And then laid hands and said, unless you get a visa to be in the U.S., this relationship is not going to work. Ooh, poor wife and fiancée at the time was quite frightened and was also like, well, I have no plans to get a visa to the U.S., so your prophecy doesn't really apply because I'm not even trying to get this visa. We need to watch out because there are false prophecies. There are false prophets out there. And sometimes we receive words. I'm not sure if you had this experience, but if you had, you need to talk to good Christian friends and pastors, and you need to talk to people. Because sometimes it can be really, really hard to receive those words if they are not really applying. But deep down in your heart, when you receive real prophecy, you know that it's for you, that it's the right word for you. Second word of warning, we need to watch out for our own desires. Because most of the time we use the name of the Lord in vain. You know the story of this guy saying, hey, he really fancies this girl. So he goes and says, hey, the Lord told me that we need to date. The girl on the other side saying, funny you should say that, because the Lord put on my heart that we should not meet. We tend to use the name of the Lord in vain sometimes. And we need to watch out. It is okay to have our own desires. It's perfectly fine if you think that Beijing is the next destination for you, that it's going to be great, you're going to love it. And if it fits with your desires, that's fine. As long as you don't use the word of the Lord to match your own desires. And I think we all have this tendency. We need to be honest and be, okay, I haven't really received signs right now, but I think it would be cool for me. I would quite like to do that, and that's okay. The Lord loves honesty. And third, we always need to compare discernment, to compare the way that God talks to us or the way that we think he's talking to us with the rule of love. Because I have also seen in my short career as a pastor lives being destroyed by people with strong feelings that they received the call. I have seen lives destroyed because those so-called callings did not match the rule of love. And Jesus is really clear, and Paul is also really clear that it should always match the rule of love. Therefore, if someone comes and says, oh, I received this call from the Lord to destroy this and that, we're like, well, it doesn't make sense because it doesn't match the rule of love. That's something we need to be grounded. We need to be aware of. the rule of love. So about this letter that you received this morning, the short answer is I have no idea if you should go to Beijing or not. No idea. There are many different ways that God talks to us. And sometimes it talks in ways to your neighbor that you feel like, wow, I wish he was talking to me that way, but he's going to talk to you in a different way. And that's beautiful. It's not an exact science. Otherwise, it would be boring. Our God is alive. He's in relationship with us. It's a living relationship. So, of course, it's not something exact. Or sometimes when you wish you had an answer straight away, but you need to wait. God is telling you, you need to wait right now. That's okay. So discernment is key. And it's also really, really, really good news. The news that we have a living God. Because again, I've met many people who do not believe that God is alive. That would believe in us, you know, sentences and words, but would say, no, well, God is kind of this, you know, thing above, but is not really interacting with us. No, that is not true. God is alive. God is not dead. God is alive, he's present, he's talking to us. But we need to listen. Remember what Samuel did the third time. He said, Lord, I am listening. And then it opened the way to Samuel having a relationship with the Lord. So are we listening? Because God is talking a lot. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.